What's up, you guys? Fightful Selected is the Backstage Report podcast. A reminder, we cover exclusive news, injuries, contract updates, stats, stuff you'll really only get here. But if there's anything else you want me to cover on this show, especially in this time, just let me know. I did a newscast this past weekend. I had 2 days off, and I was like, man, I already miss it. So I did a 15-minute newscast yesterday. But we have plenty of content at Fightful, from interviews to the Distraction Podcast, a great show from Jeremy Lambert and Joe Hulbert that you guys are going to love. Check that out. Without further ado, let's talk about this week's Fightful Wrestling Weekly. Now, most of these stories you may have already heard about. A lot of them have caught a lot of steam, so to speak. But I was told specifically that weeks ago, maybe even about a month ago or so, there were some conversations involving Triple H internally about wanting to add a little bit more of a light side to NXT, noting that the show was missing it. It being overt comedy wasn't necessarily the direction that we'd hear, instead just being more lighthearted aspects of the program. We saw that with Broserweight skits of late, and even him on SmackDown cutting a rug. But I heard Malcolm Bivens' name brought up in that. But that was a month ago, and we haven't really seen anything done with him in the meantime. But we did see those Broserweight skits that led to them winning the title. So it's clear that was implemented, and that came from Triple H, from what I understand. So good on him, because I think that humor is an aspect of NXT that has been missing, especially before the Broserweights. And evolving and getting better and adding things that are missing from a show are always worth doing. Speaking of WWE, in case you were wondering, Raw from the Performance Center last week was broadcast live and not pre-taped. There were several people on the roster who were there and not on the show. This was also the case with SmackDown the previous week. I know that Kofi Kingston was there doing some other stuff. I don't know if he was filming for game-related stuff or what was going on there, but he was there. John Cena did some other digital stuff with WWE that emerged. But they did not film his segments in mass, which is odd to me. And last Monday, there were no mass pre-tapes, at least that were in open view. That is also something they probably should have done, and it's something that they thought better of and decided to do this week. But people that were in the know on Raw Monday were not optimistic it would be a good show, and they were not wrong. I did not think that was a good show. I thought the promos were very good, but the little in-ring action we got was not. I thought SmackDown this past Friday was a marked improvement over all three of the previous Performance Center shows, at least before when NXT was running there and they had people. That was a good show. Not that it's any surprise to anybody, but WWE Performance Center is not holding classes, so don't expect to see anything emerge from there. There's not really a ton of backstage news in that regard to put out there from WWE and the Performance Center, because most of these people aren't getting in contact with one another. I do know that last week that wrestlers were telling me that they weren't even told if they should, could, or were allowed to be at the Performance Center for some of these tapings. And throughout last week, I had reached out to several sources about the potential of taping WrestleMania in order to reduce the risk of infection of coronavirus. And it's something that Jimmy and I heavily tackled on last Wednesday. And I was actually going to do an SRS 4K video. I haven't done one in a while. About, well, should they tape WrestleMania? Because I wasn't sure if they would. But now it's already decided. There's really no reason for me to do that. But they didn't think that they were going to as of last week. I'm told that it was very hectic. There were tons of phone calls made nonstop throughout that week. And people really didn't get to rest working remotely. I don't want to say didn't get to rest, but it was not any easier working remotely. From what I understand, it might have been just as demanding because of the nature of everything that was unfolding and all the changes to WrestleMania from Tampa to the Performance Center, from one night to two nights, then no Hall of Fame, no NXT TakeOver. But the people that I talked to said that there was no way that Vince McMahon would allow the company to tape footage for WrestleMania, and they didn't even see the company taping footage for Raw, SmackDown, or NXT in the future. They didn't think that that was realistic or that was possible. And that's changed drastically because that's what they're doing. That's what they have to do before the whole state goes on lockdown. So the people that work in WWE have seen at least their line of thinking change drastically because they got to adjust their line of thinking and the way that they approach work based on how Vince McMahon changed his, or at least whoever made the call. Now, one of the sources that I spoke to, the same one that didn't think that that would happen, said that they have some really cool things planned and said, quote, "Well, cool for the situation we're in at least. It's not something we want to have to do, but it's where we are. Don't expect this to be like the first Raw or SmackDown you saw from the Performance Center. Based on what I was told, this will be outside the box." Now, cool is in the eyes of the beholder or the eyes of the man that's in charge, but this person was, I assure you, I was not speaking to Vince McMahon, so Vince McMahon did not tell me that he had cool things planned. It was the person who heard about what was planned saying that they thought it was cool. I don't know what that might be. It might be different locations, might be a way to get around crowds, might be filming multiple endings. I don't know what they're going to do. I'm not that sure how they're going to do it, but they should be able to. They used to tape weeks, even months of footage in one day all the time, 1 or 2 days, and there's no reason they couldn't do that now. Now, I've had a lot of people ask me, this isn't really backstage news, but I've had a lot of people ask me, will you spoil WrestleMania results? Here's the thing. If spoilers do emerge, we will post them on Fightful.com. There will be a spoiler post with no identifying features in the header, in the description, in the headline, in the thumbnail, in anything. You will not be able to see those spoilers from us unless you go to the article. I will not post them on my Twitter. I mean, the actual spoilers. I'll post a link to the article. I will respond in the article and say, hey, don't talk about them here, or in my replies, please. I will ask our staff to not post spoilers. If they want to, that's up to them, because they can do what they want on their own Twitter. I hope no spoilers emerge, or I hope they film multiple endings. I hope they film multiple endings for a couple of reasons. One, as I've said, it's good documentary footage. It's good footage to have alternate endings of all this stuff. Also, I want there to be some element of surprise and doubt come WrestleMania. At the end of the day, I'm watching this because I love wrestling and I want an entertaining show. I want to get on the post show Saturday and Sunday that week, and I want to be glowing about how WWE turned this huge negative into a major positive and how much fun that these shows were. That's what I want to happen. I don't know if that'll be the case. We'll see based on how the shows go and how well I like them, but I hope spoilers don't emerge. However, if they do, and we have access to them, it's kind of our jobs to run them. I just wanted to specify that. I do not want spoiler talk on our boards on Fightful Select. If you all can help it, please. Please do not ruin it for those who do not want it ruined. I've had some people that say, oh, well, they should just stay off Twitter. That is pretentious, douchey, and unrealistic to say. We are in the middle of a pandemic right now. People have to stay in their houses. Twitter is one of the ways they keep entertained. I know that it sounds easy. Oh, just stay off of Twitter. That's how some people keep in touch with their friends, with their family, with a lot of stuff like that, with their fans, in the case of a lot of wrestlers. I hope that spoilers don't emerge, legitimately. But that's where we are. Also, another WWE note. Alberto Del Rio said that he was in talks with WWE for a 2020 return. I reached out to multiple sources within the company, and one outright exclaimed, "Bullshit!" as a response to that. Another one doubled down on a statement they gave us last year, saying, quote, "If Paige does nothing for WWE, she's more valuable to have around than anything he could possibly do," end quote. And saying the company wouldn't risk making her uncomfortable by having him around at this point. That's something that they had reiterated to me last year. Though that person, nor do I, know the relationship between Paige and Del Rio at this time. We don't know if they're on good terms, if they're friendly or anything since their breakup, all that. Don't know. Quite frankly, don't care. Not my business. That was just the quote that I was given in relation to whether or not he would be around. All Elite Wrestling. Even though last weekend, the city of Jacksonville's Twitter posted that Daly's place was off the table, or at least that's what it seemed like, we're told that was never really the case. A social media manager for the city of Jacksonville was just a little bit confused, thinking that AEW was running a public event there. And there was never any issue between the city and AEW running the venue. For those of you who weren't in the know on that one, the city of Jacksonville stated that all city-owned venues would be closed and not able to hold events there. And I think it was Dave Hancock on Twitter said, hey, does that go for Daly's place as well? And the city replied, yes, unfortunately. And the issue was that the social media manager wasn't hip to what was going on, didn't know that they were having a closed-off show with no fans there, and assumed that this was a public event, and then posted that. Now, the thing is, that's okay to mess up, but the issue is, the city of Jacksonville Twitter, or that social media manager, never followed up, never posted a thing saying, oh, wait, yeah, that is still on. Now, they didn't really need to, because what, they trying to keep fans from going to the venue? No, you don't have to worry about that. There never were going to be fans at the venue. But that was a little bit confusing. I didn't think it was anything too egregious. And I'm sure that they didn't want to highlight the fact that AEW does have the ability to run events there. Because quite frankly, the Khan family owns the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's hooked to their practice facility. And it's a very good thing that they have that available. Very good. Also, Orange Cassidy was slated for an appearance on ESPN last week. Katie Nolan confirmed that on Twitter, I think minutes after we had posted it on Fightful Select, but it got postponed due to the COVID-19 concerns. Very unfortunate. As of Thursday, Impact Wrestling roster members that I spoke to had not been told of any possible rescheduling of the TNA Retro show that was set for WrestleMania weekend in Tampa. However, many were optimistic that it could and would happen based on the buzz that the event got. We heard from one member of the roster that aren't even sure the direction the company will go with the tapings moving forward because they had a lot of footage in the can, specifically leading to the Rebellion pay-per-view that I'm told were hard to get out of. And the wrestlers that we spoke to hadn't been clued in on a ton of stuff, but said that they were pretty happy with how the situation has been handled, all things considered, in this unfortunate time. I also spoke to Trey Miguel before all this happened about the process of him coming to Impact Wrestling, where he said that Zachary Wentz of the Rascals actually gave him the news, but he was asleep when it happened, and Wentz only mentioned that he himself was getting signed. So as a result, Miguel didn't really care that much, just was upset that he had been woken up, but he had heard rumblings that they were going to get signed in the weeks before it happened and couldn't tell anyone. He said that he couldn't say a single thing and it was really, really tough for him. He called PWG and Impact two different worlds, but said that PWG was always a goal and helped give him another sense of making it on the indies. One of his other goals of making it is to get a top-level contract, but making the top levels of independent wrestling was a goal of his, and hearing the crowd chant, "This is awesome," while he looked up at the ceiling of the Globe Theater was one of those goals. And he admits that he hasn't quite gotten that top wrestling contract yet, but saying that going from an unknown to completely familiar in Impact is truly welcoming and validating. And we talked about some of his favorite road foods and the knee injury that he was working through. I would see him again the following week, and he was hurting, man. You could tell he was hurting at Black Label Pro, so I hope he's healed up. I hope this unfortunate situation that we're going through helps him heal up. I've spoken to several indie promoters and distribution outlets who told us they were going to rely heavily on their back catalog being uploaded to YouTube to keep their doors open while the quarantines are happening because they don't want to risk putting on shows. I also talked to former WWE Cruiserweight Champion Hornswoggle about his new book, which he said he wanted to do all along, but after he got released, he was approached by an author to do a book, but it was another guy he got on board who actually made it happen, and 3 years later, it finally released. He doesn't see a correlation between himself being an author and a wrestler, because I would often ask people who wrote books, is your ability to tell stories in the ring something that you draw upon to tell them in a book? And he says no, because there's a lot of shitty wrestling books out there, but he thinks that his isn't. He said that it's the only wrestling book that Dolph Ziggler has ever read and that Dolph liked it. But we talked about some of his classic moments, and he said that he only found out about the angle of being Vince McMahon's son less than 6 hours before that night's episode of Raw started. He found out about being Cruiserweight Champion 2 days before, which is more standard this day and age. And he still has his copy of the Cruiserweight Championship, which has a nameplate on it that reads Hornswoggle McMahon. So it is the actual championship. It's not necessarily a replica. It's the one. He also took time out to rib Ethan Page, who was next to us. I asked Hornswoggle, okay, what do you want the name, the headline of this article that I'm writing to be? And he said, Ethan Page will never make it in the wrestling business. Their autograph tables were right next to each other. That's a fun interview. I hope you guys check that out. It's going to drop Wednesday for you guys, Friday for everybody else. Let's get to the contract updates. Mojo Rawley has moved to SmackDown. I followed up on that with somebody in WWE, and they said, yes, he has been moved to SmackDown. Subsequently, Rob Gronkowski has debuted. He is on SmackDown as of now. Scott Dawson's contract is up in a matter of weeks. I don't know if it's the beginning of April or the end of April, but it is in April. As a reminder, Dash Wilder had about 10 weeks tacked on, but we got some major transactions for AEW. Luke Harper, the former Luke Harper, rather, now known as, again, as Brody Lee, has joined All Elite Wrestling and is the Exalted One. So not only does he join All Elite Wrestling, he joins as the Exalted One and will now lead the Dark Order. In addition to that, Matt Hardy has joined AEW just 3 weeks after, less than 3 weeks actually, after his WWE deal has expired. Don't know the duration, length, terms of any of those deals, but I guess we'll see. Injury update, Samoa Joe not cleared as of mid-February 2020 after suffering an injury during a commercial shoot, but then was suspended for 30 days on February 24th. Tamina has been booked for a WrestleMania match. She has only wrestled in the Rumble since November. Kenny Omega announced for a return this week. He has been sidelined with a hand injury since AEW Revolution. And Nick Jackson was not cleared this week. Not cleared to travel or anything is what they keep saying on AEW TV. I don't know the legitimacy of that, but that's who's on the sidelines, or at least as far as we've updated. Now let's get into the statistics of the week. Raw took place at the Performance Center for the first time in history last week. Randy Orton has competed in 14 Last Man Standing matches, but the last 10 were not on TV. He's 3-1 in televised matches and 4-6 on live event versions. But how about this? Edge, after challenging Randy Orton to a Last Man Standing match at WrestleMania, we looked up his numbers. He's 6-0 in Last Man Standing matches, including 3-0 on TV. Of his 10 WrestleMania matches, Edge has won 6 of them, but only ended up getting pinned or submitted in 2 of the 10. He can't get pinned or submitted in this, but he can be a factor in the decision. WrestleMania 36 was announced as taking place in front of no fans for the first time in history. Rey Mysterio and Andrade had their 8th televised one-on-one match on Monday. If it seems like even more than that, well, that's because they have had an additional 3 falls in between two out of 3 falls matches, and they faced off in a gauntlet match. After appearing on over a half dozen AEW shows from October to December, Emi Sakura has not appeared since. AEW ran their show at Daly's Place in Jacksonville for the 3rd time this past Wednesday, which is the most of any venue in their history so far. It was also their first empty arena show. So as we speculated, Daly's Place is their safe haven. Of Miz and Morrison's last 6 matches together, they've only won 2 by pinfall or submission, and both of those were title matches. Otherwise, they're getting beaten or winning by DQ. Again, I want to thank all of you who have subscribed. We have so much stuff up on Fightful Select. You know what all is there. 2 shows from Alex a week, 2 Q&As from Jimmy Van last week. I had two podcasts of my own last week. Retro reviews are all over the place. Dark Match commentary all over the place. Thank you all. Let people know about it. We always have subs dip at the end and beginning of the month because of cancellations and credit card updates and stuff like that. If you can afford it, we would appreciate you guys sticking around. We don't want you to put yourself out over it. I hope that you guys are staying safe. I can't tell you how much you mean to me. And, you know, you all could check out any amount of wrestling content. So for the fact that you all are doing it with us, it means the world to me. Thank you all so much. We're out.